Okay, hello everyone. Thank you for this opportunity to speak about my research, which is joint work with Professor Stanton Glantz, who's here in the audience. And I started this work while I was working as an international fellow at UCSF. And I'm going to talk to you about the tobacco industry's global strategies to block the diffusion of health warning labels on cigarette packs. And we don't have any financial relationships with or commercial interest relevant to this topic. Okay, as you all know, the warning labels offer a low-cost, effective tobacco control measure. It's perhaps the most effective low-cost tobacco control measure there is. And actually, those health warning labels which include traffic elements are even more effective than text-only warnings, and there is a lot of evidence to back up this claim, and as was also presented in the earlier presentation. And in my paper, introducing warning labels is examined as diffusion of inhalation. The idea is to examine how these innovations have been introduced in different countries and how tobacco industry has tried to block the diffusion of these innovations. And we're trying to identify the critical junctions where new health warning innovations or improvements to health warning labels have been introduced, and to study those tobacco industry strategies which they have used to block the diffusion of these innovations at these critical junctures. So what I'm offering here for you is a kind of a chronological story which has a global perspective, while I'm looking at all the countries in the globe. My hypothesis is that tobacco industry has indeed sought to block the diffusion of new health warning innovations. The industry knows that these are very effective tobacco control measures, and in order to preserve their profits and increase their markets, they've tried to kill these innovations before they spread to other markets. And in this respect, even small countries, and in this presentation I'm not talking that much about Finland, which is indeed a small country too, but also other small countries can be very important, because if innovations are introduced in those small countries, they can spread to bigger market areas. And as we all know, the tobacco industry has monitored what has been going on in all the countries, especially in those countries where the tobacco control measures have been taken early on. This is a quote from Hugh Kuhlman, who was the chairman of Infotab, that tobacco industry's joint public relations and monitoring organization, and he was talking about how the threat of secondhand smoke came from Japan, and then he mentioned that we got the rotating health warning labels from Sweden, and he said that, as one of our Australian colleagues puts it, a sneeze in one country today causes international pneumonia tomorrow. And that's what they were trying to do to prevent this what they called international pneumonia. The data comes from previous studies published on warning labels, government documents, media reports, and there's also a very good database at Tobacco Labeling Resource Center. And most of the actual data comes from the internal tobacco industry documents, and I've used solely the tobacco industry documents at Legacy Library. This graph shows you how the health warning labels were diffused over time from 66 to 2012. And the number of countries with some kind of health warning labels has grown quite steadily. Actually, in 1991, Philip Morris decided to put English health warning labels on all export markets, but I haven't included that the effect of that decision in this graph. And what's even more interesting for the topics of this session is that the introduction of graphic health warnings took speed very late, actually early 2000s, but they've been spreading quite quickly thereafter. And of course, in the course of this period, innovations and improvements have been introduced to health warning labels, and in this presentation I've divided those improvements and innovations into four different generations. And the first generation of health warning labels were introduced in the US in Cigarette Labeling Act, which was passed in 65, and it was implemented in 66. Actually, already in January 59, the Senate of South Dakota tried to introduce skull and crossbone signs into cigarette packs, but that didn't got enough support because the tobacco industry was so successful in blocking this initiative. And how this Cigarette Labeling Act came about? There was this 64 Surgeon General report, and then the Federal Trade Commission decided that they must regulate on cigarette products, and they must put a warning label. But the tobacco companies didn't like that. Instead, they were in favor of this Cigarette Labeling Act, which gave them preemptions from regulation from Federal Trade Commission on or from any other government agency, and also the states and the local communities were not able to put their own health warning labels. So the first labels, warning labels, were very cautious in their language. There was no specific disease mentioned, and those warning labels were also very innocuous. And what happened in the US was followed in the United Kingdom, where they had a similar warning, and also in Japan there was a warning which read, "For the sake of your health, do not smoke too much." And in Belgium there was a similar warning: excessive smoking can impair your health, and that was in 75. And why those the industry was not that much against of those early warnings was that they thought that it would be more difficult for sick smokers to sue the tobacco companies if there would be a government mandated health warning. But they were very much against warnings which didn't have this authorization from the government, because they thought that in that case the customers might think that the companies are on the opinion that it's a health hazard to smoke. So for some countries the first warnings were just voluntary agreements between the companies and the government, and this table shows you that this was quite a clever strategy for the industry, because it delayed the mandatory warning labels for quite some years, like in the UK for 25 years, in Canada 17 years, Netherlands 10, Ireland 7, New Zealand 17, Mauritius 14, Singapore 9, Germany just 1 year, Denmark 6 years, South Africa 2 years and Zimbabwe 13 years. But then became the second generation of health warning labels where smoking was established as a health hazard and specific diseases were mentioned. And also the warning labels were more visible at this time. And this is the time when this small country of Iceland, which is situated in between the European, the North American continent, and at that time it had only a quarter of a million inhabitants, they decided in 69 to introduce a warning label, a groundbreaking warning label where it said that cigarette smoking can cause lung cancer and heart disease. And this was, of course, much more strongly worded than the US warning, which only said that smoking may be hazardous to your health. And the US tobacco companies, which dominated the market, they supplied it 95% of all cigarettes to Iceland, and they threatened Iceland with embargo, and they wanted Iceland to back off and not introduce this warning label. They were not successful in this respect, but they refused to pay the cost of attaching the warning. And the warning was attached in clear wrappings, which were easily taken off by the customers, and in 71, quite surprisingly, the government of Iceland decided to abandon the warning label. And the tobacco companies used this as a kind of for their own advantage. Like in 78, in the US Senate Subcommittee of Health, it was discussed whether they should introduce multiple or rotating health warning labels in this country, and the tobacco industry or their lobbying organization, Tobacco Institute, said that sometimes government make bad decisions and which they have to later reverse. And for this respect, Iceland was given as an example. So the third generation of health warning labels include just what I just mentioned, multiple health warnings. In Sweden, in 1977, it was discovered that the health message warns out, and it's much more efficient to have several messages which are rotated in the cigarette packs. And of course they knew that it's even more costly for the tobacco companies to do so. And they have had 16 different health warning labels, and Philip Morris learned about this initiative quite later in the process, and very early on they draw an action plan to block the across the border spillover from Sweden. And one of their directors, who was responsible for monitoring developments in the European continent, wrote in one of his memorandums that legal, political and competitive developments in specific countries or regions are regarded by other governments as model cases for their own legislation. They were not Philip Morris or the tobacco industry was not able to block the implementation of this initiative or innovation in Sweden, but they were quite successful in preventing this innovation from spreading to other countries for 6 years. In 83, rotating health warning labels were introduced in Poland, in 85 in Norway, as well as in this country, and also in Iceland, 86 in Ireland, 87 in Sri Lanka, 88 in New Zealand, 88 in Cyprus, 89 in Singapore, 90 and in Thailand and in Japan. And nowadays it's just a common standard to have those rotating warning labels. When we come to the topic of the day of this session, is graphic health warnings. again, it was this small country of Iceland which was the first country to come up with this idea of introducing graphic elements to health warning labels. It was an idea from a graphic designer who worked for the Ministry of Health in Iceland, who said that perhaps it's a good idea to reinforce the health message by through these graphic elements. And the tobacco industry was very well aware of the impact of this innovation, and they thought that it would have more impact in developing countries where there is a high rate of illiteracy. And Brian Simpson from Infotab actually flew over to Iceland to try to reverse the decision to implement those health warning labels. And Philip Morris stopped shipping Marlboro brand to Iceland for more than 15 years. And here are some examples of those early graphic health warning labels, and this is in Icelandic language, which I'm sorry I can't read. I'm sorry to disappoint you with these images, because they seem very mild in comparison with the ones we saw in the earlier presentation, or in comparison with which were of the graphic health warning labels which were introduced in Canada in 2001. But anyway, these were the first ones, and the tobacco industry was fighting very much to prevent the diffusion of these graphic health warning labels, and actually they were quite successful. Sweden was very threatening country for the tobacco industry because of the rotating health warning labels, which were implemented in the U.S. and had a huge impact in this country, and Sweden had a high profile in the U.S. discussions. And when in 1991, when the health officials in Sweden decided that they want to have the graphic health warning labels in Sweden, Philip Morris considered this idea as health warning label crisis. And I'm sorry to say that they actually succeeded in preventing the implementation of this proposal. They employed several strategies, and the most important strategy was that they said that this proposal was in conflict with the European Community Health Warning Directive. And at this particular time, Sweden was considering joining the European Community, and all those issues which were considered as being in conflict with the European Community legislation had a very high profile. And that's why the government of Sweden decided not to implement the graphic health warning labels. And that had a negative repercussions for other countries. Graphic health warning labels were also considered in Norway, but the idea was dropped in 1995 for similar considerations, and actually also Iceland again abandoned graphic health warning labels for those same grounds. And graphic health warning labels were not introduced in any country before 2001 in Canada. So this was a very, very sad story. But to conclude, it's clear from what I've been saying that tobacco industry has indeed tried to block the diffusion of health warning labels innovations at critical junctures. And they've tried to set precedents where innovative warning label policies have been exchanged for less effective policies, like in Iceland and in Sweden 91. My conclusion is that public health community must cooperate to subvert tobacco industry strategies and to allow the diffusion of graphic health warning labels. And I think this is most relevant for developing countries, and especially and foremost for African countries, because if we look at the list of countries which have no health warning labels at this time, and the countries where there is a high incidence of illiteracy, and also countries where there is a lot of tobacco industry efforts to maintain their market position and increase their profits. It's actually the countries in the African continent. Thank you for your attention.